20 and welcome to our first show. You're hanging out with me, Fadil Baker.
KG the One.
And we're so excited that you guys have joined us, the first one for 2020.
Amen.
We want to give out a couple of shout outs before we get into the show. Lots to talk about.
A lot to talk about. Jam packed.
Let's start out with some sponsors.
Yeah, so TaylorMade Designs is our sponsor.
Uh-huh.
If you are starting a business, not even if you're starting a business, but if you want to brand yourself, if you need a website, if you need graphics done, holla at TaylorMade Designs. I keep forgetting the handle.
It's well, it's hello at taylormadedesigns.co.za or at justange30 on Instagram. You can hit them up and they'll be able to help you there.
Yeah, and if you are a first-time client, and you
first-time client using the code whatever, you'll get 30% off. And if you are a returning client, you'll get 5% off. So that's literally every time you go back for work to be done, they'll give you 5% off.
For cheesy. I mean, it's a steal. So
Check out TaylorMade Designs on Instagram. You'll find a lot of their up-and-coming specials that they're currently running. On Twitter, they're actually running a current competition right now.
Yeah.
Where you can win like a whole business portfolio design and a whole bunch of stuff really into it. And I mean, like, that would really set you up for like some good business stuff.
Maybe we should enter. Are we allowed to enter?
I don't think we can enter, but I'm sure we can find a way to bamboozle our way into into that thing. You guys wanna follow us outside of the show, you can do that. It is at KG the One.
With two underscores.
Yeah. I was about to ask where those underscores are. It's at KG the One. And at Fadil Baker or at Fadil B, you can find us. You can finally find me on Facebook.
Oh, to what do we owe this honor?
I do have you as a friend, right? I'm sure.
Probably not.
I am so sure. I'm going to check, right? I'm so sure. You know what the issue is? I think I sent you a friend request and it's still pending.
No way.
That's
ways.
What the issue is. No you can ways. Also find us on Twitter at Fadil B at KG the One. You can find KG the One on PSN. There's no reason for you to find me there. Even if you do find me there, it's really no reason. Instagram, Twitter is where it's at.
I've actually been getting a lot of invites. Is your name Alad Jakoran?
No.
That's racist. Anyway.
Now, the thing is, I think this is going to be like the third time that I'm saying this to you, but we cannot start the year off. We cannot start the year off like this. Listen, guys, this guy is somewhere between... How many friend requests do you have going on here?
Nah, just fine, bro. I'm not as famous as you.
However, yeah, these are like from 2 weeks and 5 days ago. So, come on, like...
Yeah.
Dude, are you serious? There's no way. I'm going to look right now. I'm so certain I sent you a friend request. Mm-hmm. You're like one of the few people that I did send a friend request to, so...
Oh, yeah, I accepted it.
You did?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so just so you know, like, I'm there, and there's, like, really nothing much happening.
Yeah, I see you're sharing stuff, bro.
Yeah, like, I'm in like, a food group.
Yeah.
Bon Appetit. I'm in a Survivor fan jury one. The show I just did, I posted the promos for them there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, thanks a lot for, like, looking at my timeline after accepting my invite. Like, you're just, like, the best, eh?
Dude, like, and I've been hush-hush about this thing. I mean, like, it's super top secret.
Oh, yeah, no, I was going to talk about it. It's just that I feel like your news trumped my news.
Oh.
Even though, like, we kind of knew about mine before, but I kind of feel like your news...
Oh. I wonder what that is.
Yeah. but anyway, how's the holidays, man? Like, you've been on leave, what, 3 weeks?
Yeah, 3 weeks. 3 weeks. 3 weeks strong.
Yeah.
Yes, like Mother Russia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you spent all 3 weeks with your family in Polokwane?
Yes. And the first week, like, I wanted that week for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not being, hey, kid, you do this, just like...
Now, usually when you travel, you take your PlayStation with you. So,
yes.
Did you...
Of course.
Did you take it this time?
Yes. Yeah. Of course, yeah. And Satan tempted me as you saw.
Yeah.
FIFA was like $550.
Yeah.
$550. Like,
are you saying 550? Because 550 for like a PS4 game, it's reasonable.
It's very, that's
it's extreme. So it's like, I'm trying to understand your tone here. I'm like, wait, are you complaining about $500 for PS4? Yeah. That, for me, that's why I, like, when you sent me those stuff, I was like, just get the FIFA.
No, yeah, exactly. And the thing is, the issue is, like, I always wait till, like, it goes down. Because it always definitely goes down.
Do you find the same issue with games that you do with books? Because my issue with books is that, you know, on my Kindle?
Yes.
My Kindle's like a library where all my books are. But I still prefer having hard copy books, right? Now, do you ever feel weird, like, having... Because majority of your games are online, right?
Yes.
In compared to owned discs.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel weird, like...
Not really. I think it's a tech enthusiast in me.
Yeah.
Because, like, I do agree sometimes, like, having a physical book is fine. But, like, at work and stuff, I'm so used to, like, reading things off a screen that, like...
I can tell you the difference with my PlayStation is that one of the things that I don't want to be doing this year is switching discs.
You see that...
Yeah, because, you know, like, and sometimes also, like, you know, you're sitting on your sofa and, like, you're on your PlayStation.
Yes.
And then you think you played this game last.
But you didn't.
And then you go there confident clicking on it, and then they're like, no disc. And now you've got to kind of go see where the icon is, which disc is in, and then go find it. And I don't know, like, how OCD you are, but, like, every disc has got to be in its right cover.
Nope.
Not?
Nope.
I swear, like, every single, the only rule I have is that if there's one in, the only exception I make is that if there's one in, if I took one out, it can go into the cover of the one that's in the play, if that makes
sense. Okay, and I get you.
You know what I mean? However, every disc has got to be in its own place.
I used to be like that in my PS1 games, my PS1 time. And then I met one of my friends, Fadi.
Yeah.
Like, dude, he didn't care. So, ever since then.
Yeah. So, talking about PS1, did you find your console?
Yeah, I found my console.
How?
I do not know. And for that long. And it wasn't thrown away.
Yeah.
I'm gonna sell it when I'm like 80 years old.
So I don't think I had I don't think I had a PS1. I think I had a PS2. I think I jumped on the wagon on two. PS2. Because one was pretty small, right?
It was pretty small.
One was pretty small, and mine was the one just after it was gray, a little, maybe the size of like my Mac.
Oh yeah. No, I remember the slim one.
Yeah. So mine was the one just there.
The greatest game ever made was created on a PS2.
Is it still operational, your PS1?
Yeah.
Did you play anything on
it? Yeah. And some guy actually offered me money. And I'm like, nah, I'm not selling it. Yeah. It's like, name your price. I'm like...
What? Can you not find it anymore?
No, bruh. It's like super rare, dog.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm saying I'm going to like sell it when I'm like 80, when it's worth like a gazillion bucks.
You think it will be?
It definitely will.
So the question, did you play Crash Bandicoot? Do you remember what you played? Because Crash Bandicoot's kind of the only thing. Because I said to you Tomb Raider.
Nah, I don't think I played Tomb Raider. Hercules. Hercules was my favorite game.
Yeah, I remember playing Hercules.
What else? I think Formula One.
Yeah.
Formula One was, but I didn't like Formula One.
When did Need for Speed come out on it? Was it...
PS2. That's when Need for Speed...
Because I remember when I got my 2, remember you still used to get like a demo disc with it?
Dude, and I still have it.
Either like a level or like 5 minutes of each game would be on that.
I had Tekken 4 and like you only had Christy Montero and Paul Phoenix.
Yeah, like just kind of that. So PS5 is launching this year. Is it this year?
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
I want to get it.
Yeah.
But I don't.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be a good release.
You know the thing with me is that, you know, there are people who are so tech minded.
Yeah.
That the reason they get the upgrade is because they will immediately experience the benefits of the tech upgrade.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I probably would.
Yeah. So the thing with me is like, I don't think if I were to switch, I'm not saying I wouldn't see obvious differences, like maybe better gameplay or whatever it is. But what I am saying is, like, for example, there are probably functions on my PS4 that I have right now that I'm not even using because that's not where I'm at.
Well, yeah.
And there's absolutely nothing. You see, the thing with like PlayStation and my iPhones and even Apple products is that they make such good products
that
if you didn't know there was one after that, you wouldn't care.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I was just like, you know, when you look at it, like the design and like things that are coming out and whatever, I didn't see a lot of it. I think I saw it on Instagram, on YouTube, but I just kind of saw the promos or whatever it is that was on.
Yeah. You know why I'm not too excited about it? I hear Xbox. I'm not sure if they're coming up with another console.
Yeah.
If they are, it's not a next generation console.
Now, I play an Xbox?
No. But here's the thing. Right? The issue is, these tech companies, they only improve when they have competition.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I like Android is because they keep Apple on their toes.
Yeah.
If there's no one competing with Apple, then they have no incentive to innovate.
Nothing to say there.
Now, the issue is that with the PS5, what they realized, because Xbox announced that like the Xbox One would be like the final console.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of like next generation, they'll probably come up with the slimmer one or whatever, but it's still going to be the Xbox One, right? So now my thing is, what PlayStation are doing is that they're trying to capitalize on that.
Yeah.
To sell the PS5 and monopolize the market, basically.
Yeah.
To be the only people who...
What's happening on Xbox? Is there anything I'm missing out on Xbox? Like, do games that get released on PS4 get released on the Xbox platform as well?
Not all of them, though. So the exclusive... The big advantage of having a PS4 is exclusive titles. You can't get Uncharted on Xbox. Can you imagine how much that would suck?
Yeah.
If you had an Xbox.
I look at that control, I'm out already.
Yeah.
I think because I've grown up with the PS
the DualShock
controller.
Yeah.
You know, like the introductions of like R1, L1, like way back then was like kind of, and like the analog sticks and that kind of thing. But I just kind of feel like when I look at the Xbox controller, I'm like, what? What in the outer space is that? Like, what in the Luke Skywalker is happening with this controller? And where do I even begin like learning this thing?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and also like the thing is with Xbox is that it's not purely a gaming console.
Yeah.
It's an entertainment system.
Yeah.
Like, you don't buy an Xbox to exclusively game.
Yeah.
And that's why like most games don't even run on 60 frames per second. They run on like 30 frames per second.
Yeah.
So like, but you can Skype on it. You can connect your DSTV on it.
You know, if there's one thing I don't want to hear when I'm buying a device is uses that I didn't even have intention for that device for. You know what I mean?
Why?
Like, for example, if someone's like, I must buy a Samsung, right?
Yeah.
And then they're like, no, but with that Samsung, you can use the Samsung as a modem. Example. That's like the main base. Whatever. Yeah. I'm like, if I wanted a modem,
I would have bought.
I'm like, are you saying that one of the best features of this phone is not to be a phone?
Then why am I getting a phone?
I kind of feel like with the new phone, like obviously all phones in some way or the other is a modem these days, whatever. But I'm talking about like, if you're going to sell me, it's better video quality.
Yeah.
Better network speed. Better, you know, like though I feel like there's... Photos, texting, calls, internet, they're the basic functions of the phone that a phone has got to be good at. Don't tell me that you're P100 or your P900 or whatever. And I don't know if you've noticed, like now, I don't know if it's a trend with like the new, I just need to see what photo this is, but there's like camera phones now that when you take a photo, it has the digital signature at the bottom.
Oh, crap.
Like, if it's like P100 or P900, then it like says Huawei P900 at the bottom. I don't think I have one on my phone because I obviously wouldn't save a dumbass photo like that. But there are photos.
Yeah, because you kind of have to like advertise.
And I'm just kind of, I'm like, I don't understand. Like, why would I want to take a photo with the phone's camera and it says iPhone? Is that not so ratchet? Like,
and I feel like I should charge them.
Yeah.
For advertising.
Exactly.
Why are they advertising on my photo?
So, because I was just thinking, I'm not sure if that's an option that you can switch off. Like,
I hope you can.
You know, like, that you can switch off. Yeah. On the other hand, I was just thinking, I was like, if I was taking photos on that phone, I would be cropping almost every single photo. Because, you know, there's like some photo apps where you can do stuff, but then there's always a watermark.
Yeah.
So I use it and I just crop the thing out.
Yeah.
As long as it's one of those that like splashes across. Use it like at the bottom somewhere at the top and I just crop it out.
Yeah.
You know, because I am not, listen, 2020 might be the year where I start actually paying for stuff on apps, but.
Wait, you don't pay for apps?
which app do I need where I need to pay for something?
Yeah, see, bro. Hey,
What are you using? Are you using some photo editing, video editing? The furthest for me with like, and that's the thing as well. If I'm going to audition for something or if I'm sending an audition video somewhere, they don't even need that level of editing.
Yeah, it needs basic.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So unless like I'm doing something maybe for the show or I'm doing something, whatever, I'll need that. But I have come away with so much using like the bare minimum.
Yeah, but thing is also like you don't need to pay for stuff.
Yeah.
It's just that I own that.
No, I was about to say, so what is it that you are paying for?
Yo, like do besides they many your... apps? Let me think. Let me so or games. That's like I'm a stickler for games. Sometimes in-app purchases give guilty. Candy Crush.
Oh my god! I will say that when I used to play Candy Crush, that was my one. Candy Crush and Plants vs Zombies, and
Plants vs Zombies was.
And there was insane. you know Angry Birds had the Angry Bird race.
Yes. Oh yeah. I remember
so when
that.
I first got my iPad, that's where I used to spend the most guap on because, like,
yeah.
I mean, who's gonna wait for coins and stuff like that?
I also downloaded Geekbench.
Yeah.
Just so every time an Android user says, you know, Android is better, then I'm like, open Geekbench.
So wait,
let's test your theory.
Wait.
On that.
So you invested in an app that helps you with your clapbacks?
Definitely. Like literally, like there were two guys at the wedding at David's wedding.
Yeah.
David's my friend. T-dubs. That's all you guys need to know.
Yeah.
That were like showing me like, oh no. Apple is like this. All I said was like, open Geekbench.
Yeah.
Like let's run tests to see which is the better performing phone.
Yeah.
And like they didn't want to because they knew.
Yeah. No, listen. Like I feel like your petty points have gone up 5 points this year, and I'm here for it. Like I am absolutely here for it.
Yeah.
So we're recording at my place, and you can see our Christmas decor is still up. Well, not all of it.
Yeah.
It's been coming down in like stages.
Right. Hey man, I'm not mad at that, bro.
I'm always, you know, I don't like starting to decorate too soon. Because, you know, some people I start decorating in October already. Like moment Halloween's done, the Christmas stuff comes up. And I'm like, by the time it's Christmas, it's not even. I think the right time to start decorating is a week before Christmas.
I'm not mad, bro.
I don't mind in like shopping malls and stuff. But I mean, like at your house.
I'm not mad, bro.
Mm-hmm.
I really am not mad. Even if like I had Christmas decorations to like March.
No, come on.
I'm telling you.
No, you can't do that.
I'm not mad.
You cannot do that. I thought that I was gonna have like a really chill. Well, I was planning to have like a really chill December. One thing after the other, just started coming up, and before I knew it, it was New Year's Eve.
Yes.
Right, and I think the thing that kind of caught me off guard was that all of the events that, you know, like normally it's like we're going out tonight,
yes,
or there's a lunch tomorrow, or we're meeting friends on this day, everything that came up was kind of happening over a 3-day period or like over a weekend period. So by the time all these weekends away and stuff happened, whatever, I came, it was like it's New Year's Eve.
Gosh.
Right, so come New Year's Eve, we're like, no, we're just gonna go over to a friend's house, it's gonna be very chilled, small group of people and sitting around, whatever. At first I had reservations about it because I was like, why don't we go somewhere for the countdown?
Yeah.
When the countdown's done, then we can come back home and then kind of see who stays up the latest or like how long people actually stay awake for. And the thing that I was fearful about happening happened.
Oh, gosh.
So we're sitting around the table and I think I got there around like 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
And so we're sitting, we're chilling. And then closer to the time, I think from about like 11:30, I'm like, guys, someone needs to put like a timer on so that we can kind of know. Because it's not like we're in a place where there's going to be like an automated timer or like whatever.
Surprise, it's 1 o'clock.
Dude, surprise, and like exactly what I thought was going to happen. 2 minutes after 12 o'clock, someone guessed like, I'm like, what? They're like, it's 2 minutes past 12. Oh, wow. And the reason being is because three people were arguing who's got the best timer on their phone.
Oh, Lord.
And this started at 5 to 12 and went all the way until 2 minutes after 12. And so we had to do a fake countdown at 2 minutes after 12 because three people at the table were arguing about who has, and then like I'm sitting and I have my timer right in front of me, right?
Yeah.
And now, guys, I can literally press start right now. All you gotta do is give me the word and I'll be the timer guy.
Yeah.
And the three of them are like, you know when three people are arguing at a table and everyone's just like, no, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so then eventually, like, it just goes and it's done and it's 2 minutes after that. But like,
that must have been rough.
It is what it is, man. Listen, I was like, rather that than going in. The one year I remember we were at like a, either like a Cubana or a news cafe, but like somewhere where you can kind of dinner, New Year's Eve at the same time, whatever.
Mm.
And at 10:02, they started playing the song Jezebel.
Flip, yo, and hectic throwback.
And you know like how long those songs are?
Yes.
And when it started at 10:02, I was like, please don't tell me that the song, I don't know like how, I don't use the word superstitious, but I don't know how you are about like how you start that New Year type of thing.
Yeah.
For me, like when it comes to New Year's resolutions and stuff, I'm like, screw it. Like, if I wasn't doing it before 12, I'm not going to be doing it after 12.
I'm like that.
There has to be intention. You know what I mean? But I'm kind of like, I am like kind of picky as to how I spend my time during that. Because I kind of feel like it just sets the tone
for the year.
For the rest of the year. You know? If I'm late for any like meetings or anything, just know that like I'm kind of 2 minutes later than everybody in 2020.
It was probably because you've been playing Jezebel.
Exactly. And I was like, the thing is, I'm not, you know that I'm not like someone to super read into stuff.
Yes.
But I was like, there's no way like I'm entering this year with the song Jezebel. Like, come on. Like.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Anyway, I was thinking about something really interesting, especially because over the holidays, there's a lot of gift swapping.
Yes.
And I wanted to find out, like, what do you think, or how would you feel about someone who re-gifts something that you gave them? And vice versa. Would you re-gift something that someone's given you?
I probably would.
And would you be offended if someone re-gifted something that you gave them? Okay, let's make it super
it
personal.
It depends.
Who it is. Okay, let's bring it like super into your circle. We'll start with your mom and dad, and then we'll go to your fiance.
Mom and dad, I wouldn't mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wouldn't affect me. Fiance, right? Hey, bruh.
Hey. So if you bought her a perfume, and then
you're throwing hands, bro.
Yeah, so you buy her perfume, and then she gives that perfume.
That was a joke.
Oh, yeah. Before, figuratively throwing it.
Hands, at the sky.
At the sky, hands in the air, side to side.
We need to clarify these things these days. No, my fiance, I'd be super hurt.
Yeah.
But parents, we give each other money. So if they take my money and give it to someone else, I'm like,
yeah, look, if you give someone money, is that really a gift? Because that was my next question. Like, is money actually a gift?
Yeah.
I'm
more thankful for money than actual gifts.
I'm also thankful for money. Like, I think on my birthday last year, a lot more people just gave me money instead of buying me something. However, I feel like if you're going to give me a gift, I feel like money is compensation. So, here's some compensation on your birthday, usually when people give you money, it's probably going to be more money than what the gift would have been.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I feel like there's a lot more sentimental attachment that goes into choosing a gift for someone than what money is.
I feel you.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I feel like money is the easy way out. Would you give your fiance money for a gift?
No. I would not.
You see what I mean? Yeah. I feel like it depends on who. Like, I would not give someone I'm dating. I would not give a family member. Because I kind of feel like how much thought is into that.
Family. Okay. Yeah, I see it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I see it.
I kind of feel like it's got to be. The thing is, I think like in our friendship circle, we're not big gift givers anyway.
That's the thing.
You know what I mean? We're more like on someone's birthday, go out to a restaurant or take you out somewhere or that kind of thing. I think it's just different between guys and girls.
Yeah, I don't know. Is it? Like, for me, it doesn't really affect me.
I think like in, if I just think about like the people that I've kind of, because I think my friend's parents had the worst timing for her birthday, because New Year's Eve's like 31 into one, and her birthday's on the 3rd of January. So the last 2 years we've missed it, because it's like all the celebrations. Like, I mean, you know, like we start celebrating in December, like from the 1st.
Yeah.
So by the time you get to like the 31st, you don't want to hear anything like about a braai, a party, a chillers, or whatever. So by the time, so every it could be like the following week, it'll be like the 6th or 7th, you'd be like, oh crap, it was that person's birthday, I forgot. So this year we were kind of intentional and we were like, okay, we're setting aside this time. And her birthday also fell on a Friday, so it was a bit more conducive because it is the weekend and that kind of thing.
But you're 2 days late.
But I mean, like, but even at her birthday party, she got a lot more gifts from the girls. Like, the girls were more the ones who were, like, gift bringers.
Yeah,
the like... The guys, like, for the party itself were more like, should I bring a bottle of this? Should I bring drinks? Should I bring snacks? The guys were more like, what should I bring?
You know what I saw? There's actually, you can actually get a registry for your birthday. First of all, how rich are your friends?
Yeah. Also, I don't know if we've had this conversation about if you're going to have a themed birthday party at a restaurant, right?
Yeah.
And if it's your birthday, probably we're not eating at Spur. Okay. If you're older than 21 for your birthday.
Okay.
I'm just saying, probably if it's your birthday, there's going to be, it's going to be like, I don't want to say a better because Spur's pretty good, but you get what I'm saying.
It is
pretty good.
Okay.
For me, like Spur's buffalo wings are still.
Ooh, the buffalo wings. Yeah. Oh, Lord. You know I mean? Can get saved again.
So, but the thing is, you're probably going to choose like a restaurant. Like, you're going to choose a restaurant like Cream or like one of the nice Indian restaurants. Be like, you know, like you're going to go to a restaurant like that.
Yeah.
However, I think like if it's your birthday and you're inviting people out to a restaurant for your birthday, you've got to make some kind of budgetary plan where
yes.
the food is covered. Mm. Or you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
I'm covering the food you bring. But like you can't send people an invitation and be like, come to my birthday. This is the gift registry and food and drinks is on you. Like, I'm like, is this like a birthday party or is this like a summons to come spend the day with me?
Yeah.
You get
like
you
know I'm what I mean? Awesome.
Temple. Yeah, like I'm awesome. Come through, like yeah. buy me a gift, pay for your own food. I'm like, if it's your birthday, like especially like if you're coming to my house, like either like something's gonna be made or there's a braai, whatever. Then you can maybe like bring snacks or
taekwon. I agree with
or
that.
Or something like that. What do you think about giving someone a voucher for their birthday?
I'm cool with that also.
Yeah,
I'm cool with that also.
For me, as long as it's not a specific voucher.
What do you mean?
Like. On one of my birthdays, I got a voucher for a shopping mall.
Yes.
Like a mall voucher. Mm. So that all the stores, you can go to any of the stores
yeah.
in that mall with that voucher. And it was a pretty big sum of money, so I was happy. But like, don't give me a 5,000 Rand Clicks voucher only.
Clicks.
Example. Listen, give me a Clicks. Listen, yeah, have you ever...
But 5,000 on a Clicks.
You know how much? Do you know how much a Clicks voucher is going to last you? As guys, I probably think like maybe 5 months.
Yeah, definitely. No, but for 5 grand.
Yeah, okay, no, like 5 grand. Come on. Okay, maybe we go 10 months.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you had a 5 grand Clicks voucher, now you're even going to start moving outside of the things that you need
yeah.
to like random crap. You know like how Clicks is? Like you'll go in there, you didn't know you need wipes for your eyes or like... Okay, that's a bad example. No, but, like, yeah, yeah. but you know what I mean? You didn't know there was... There's nail clipper for like... your fingernails and there's a different nail clipper for like, you know what I mean? Like something like that.
Yeah.
Until you actually, because like sometimes, you know, you go in to Clicks or like to Dis-Chem and you put a couple of things in your basket and you get to the till and you'll be surprised how quickly that thing can go from like $24.99 to like 650, yes. 500. I'm like,
yes,
why the heck are toiletries so expensive?
You know what's also like that?
Yeah.
Woolworths.
Absolutely.
Woolworths is a trap, bruh.
Yeah.
Like, I'll go there, man. Put like maybe 5 or 6 items through amount to maybe like $400.
So you know when the thing to be smart at Woolies is, right?
Yeah.
If you go to Woolies, if you're going there to buy, maybe like you want something like you don't have time to cook,
yes,
and you're buying like all those ready-made stuff,
yes,
there's no budget. You're definitely going to see, you're going to spend a lot of dollars coming to that thing, right? Woolies is great if you're going to go do your basic groceries, because you're going to pay the same amount that you possibly would at Pick and Pay.
Except meat.
Yes. I'm like,
yeah.
The thing for me is, you know, like how some people wouldn't eat seafood at a steakhouse?
Yes.
Or wouldn't eat steak at a seafood restaurant?
Yes.
The thing for me is, there are some really good butchers in the area that we stay in.
Oh,
so,
crap.
So if we do go to these places and there is meat...
Should hook me up, bruh.
And there is meat, sorry. So what I mean is, I'm like, you know what, like if we go to like Woolies, it's better to walk into a butcher because you can tell them exactly the quantity, the price, and what do you want in that, and you're able to get it instead of like going to these places.
Bruh, we went to Vleeslap.
Yeah.
In Polokwane.
Yes.
We bought like a Texan steak, you know those big ass, for like $150. That thing was... thick, but
by the way, the Vleeslap in Marshall Street in Polokwane is probably the best butcher.
I think so.
I don't want to do a stretch and say Limpopo, but in my complete biased opinion,
that
is one of the best. You know what I love about it? It feels like you're walking into... Now, I haven't watched Seven Delan in like maybe, I don't know how many years, whatever.
Yeah.
But you know, like those old school Afrikaans worms and aunties who just know what's up. When you walk into that place, those guys are professional butchers.
Yep.
Everything that they made is homemade.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Might not, some of the pre-made stuff might not be your taste. Mm. It's not mine. But the meat that you're going to get in there. I'm talking about, it's the best place if you want to braai. The best place if you want to cook. And I mean, they have everything there. They have like from chicken feet to like whatever it is that you possibly could be looking for to like whatever.
Yeah.
And so, Vleeslap, Polokwane, if you're listening, this would be a great time to sponsor our show. So you, like, definitely have bigger news. I was just like, you know what? I was excited to release the news, like, about the TV show that I'd done. Couldn't say anything, but promos finally
came out.
That's
big news also, that
is
big news,
but I feel like your news is even bigger than that news. Okay. And that I'll definitely have to give to you.
I mean, if you want to say that.
Yeah. So you're deleting all your Tinder accounts, all your Grindr accounts. Are you guys going to do a joint Facebook?
I'm following some Instagram. No, I'm kidding.
Okay, so maybe just, it is, a date has been set.
Yes.
A wife has been chosen. Because you know, like some people can get the date before they get a wife, right?
Oh, wow, really?
Okay, I don't know if that's a thing, but it should be a thing. So you guys are officially getting married in
February.
I'm not going to say the date because the next thing, like, people are scouting your location up until the time and rocking But congratulations, man. I think that's the best news to start the year off with.
Amen.
I think it's completely...
I'm both excited and very scared.
Yeah. Which one more?
Scared in terms of the wedding.
Yeah.
Excited. So I'm more scared than excited about the wedding. I'm more excited than scared about the marriage.
Yeah. Okay. So, I think what we'll do is, like, as the weeks progress and goes closer, I'll ask you a lot more personal and intimate questions about the details of the wedding.
Okay.
But I think today, just to break the ice and get it out there and put it out there, we'll be like, that's happening.
Yes.
So,
hard luck, ladies.
Wait. Before you said that, I wanted to ask you this before you said hard luck, ladies. I wanted to know what the timeline was here. Up until when is the official date that applications are absolutely no more even being considered? Because you do know that up until the ceremony, like up until that moment, like it's not over until the 12 you say I do. So have you set a timeline? Have you thought about it? Is there a timeline for absolutely like, okay, this is the cutoff. Like by the time when I say I do, you've missed your shot. Or have you already made up your mind and been like, nope, from now until the wedding, absolutely nothing's going to happen.
It's finished. It's over.
Okay.
It's late for you.
Okay.
Happiness has left you.
The joy has left your world. Are you going to have a bachelor party?
I don't know. Do I need one?
Do you need a bachelor party?
Yeah.
Do you Do you need oxygen to breathe? Do you need to drink water every day? Those are needs, and this is an absolutely yes question. Oh, have you chosen a best man as yet?
No.
Okay. You know, like, what the funny thing is, like, because there's, like, I don't say majority guys in our bigger circle of friends, you do know that that's, like, the one touchy subject that always comes up.
Yeah.
Every single wedding that we've had.
Kinda.
The last wedding that we had, there were almost fights over
who's the best
position
man.
And best man. And
it's kind of awkward because the guy needs, the groom needs to like decide that. But I don't know. Like what I did is that the groomsman, I chose one person from a stage of my life.
Okay.
So one person from youth, one person from varsity,
yeah.
Another from...
Okay. You know, that is very well thought out.
Yeah.
Okay. That is so, very well
And thing thought is, out. I've been good friends with all of them throughout.
Do you guys have a set number of how many groomsmen you should have and how many bridesmen you should have? Four.
Yeah.
So I think the best thing would be is to choose one of the four. I just hope you've chosen people that you actually like.
No. Those are my boys. Okay. Bro. Those are my boys.
Okay. Bro. Yeah. So just choose one of them. Because the thing is, one of them need to take the lead in terms of all the ceremonial stuff that's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, someone needs to help you. Well, all of them are probably going to help you, like, getting dressed. Someone's going to have to take care of the ring. Someone's going to have to prepare.
Oh, gosh, man. I didn't actually think about that.
Like, prepare your, like, deliver things to the honeymoon suite and bachelor party and make sure that your wedding isn't ruined on the bachelor party night and so forth and so forth.
What is a bachelor party supposed to be?
You know, like, the thing is, a bachelor party doesn't have to be what we've always seen on TV.
So, no strippers?
You say that very disappointedly, and now I'm unsure of where this conversation's going to. And now I'm so unsure of where this conversation...
Yeah.
Listen, I think it's just, it depends on who the person is. And I think it depends on the things. Like, for example, your bachelor party shouldn't be something now that you would not have done on a regular celebratory. Listen, some people on their birthdays I'm not saying go to Vegas, but it's like Vegas, strippers, champagne, that kind of thing. Other guys want to watch a movie and have supper.
I mean, I'm like that.
You know what I mean? For my friend's bachelor's party, we went to the Soweto Towers.
Oh, bungee jump.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
So
did you bungee jump?
No.
Oh.
But listen, in my defense... He went up and then said no. I stayed down, and when he said no, I was like, if he isn't doing it, there's no reason I should do it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I was about to say, oh, and wait, did we do that thing at Ratanga Junction, that big swing thing?
No.
Oh, did you? Oh, okay. I remember.
Oh, don't put it on me only.
Yeah,
it was
you.
A group decision.
No,
it was a group decision that we were not doing this thing.
No, I totally said, let's go on.
And I said, if everyone agrees, we will go on. And everyone did not agree, so we did not
go
on.
But still.
Yeah. So I kind of think, like, that's kind of the ideas that they should, like, kind of hang around with.
Yeah.
Because I thought that was, because I was also like, you know how boring it is? Like, we can order a couple of pizzas and, like, play games. But, like, that's always what we do.
Yeah.
But, like, I think great ideas, if like, a late night, very boozy thing is not your thing, then I think we should do, like, an activity. It can, because, like, there's still some time, it could be, like, a night away, a night in the morning where, like, we go somewhere with, like, adventure camp.
Yeah.
Like, do some early morning breakfast, a hike, an adventure course, something like that, come back, that kind of thing, whatever. Yeah. So, to the rest of you listening, that was my audition for his best man. So I don't know what the rest of you are going to do.
May the odds forever be
May
in your
the
favor.
Odds be ever in your favor.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, that's what it is. So I think as we go on, we can ask a few more personal questions. We can go into the details.
Yeah.
I think, like, it's really cool that already the few conversations that we have that you kind of are hands-on with the wedding.
Oh, no, Jeff.
Because a lot of my friends have gotten married.
Yeah.
Like, they did not know the color of the flowers to, like, almost who the one thing they were sure of who the bride was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, that's at least important.
That's at least important.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I mean, my friend who got married, like, he knew, like, everything.
Yeah.
Like, they literally sat down and they knew everything, like from when flowers needed to be delivered to like venue preparation, setups, like all of that kind of stuff, whatever. Dang. But I think it's different almost in our cultures because there's a lot more family involved, where I kind of feel like with his culture, it's a lot more, the wedding is almost up to the maid of honor and the bride, all of those arrangements and kind of stuff. And then, you know, anyway. So the one thing I love about the holidays is that I actually get to switch on my Netflix and like not only vie for like the popular stuff, but I get to check a couple of stuff out.
Yes.
Some new shows that are trending currently, The Circle.
Yes.
Kevin Hart.
Is it by JR? And does The Circle become bigger?
You know, okay, number four, we cannot start the year on this note, my guy. Yeah, I feel like I need to publish our WhatsApp conversations like as the book of KG, like, and see. So The Circle, Kevin Hart's documentary. And then I want to talk a little bit about Netflix show Outrage.
What is it about? I mean, I think it's quite a self-explanatory.
Yeah, okay, but we'll talk about that, whatever. So The Circle's really cool because The Circle, I feel like they almost made a reality show about what we do every single day. It's a group of people who are judging each other and making friends purely based off their social media profiles.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how big this is in South Africa, but I feel like in South Africa, we're still a lot more community-based, where the people on our profiles, the ones you're actually talking to via DM, talking inbox and whatever, are people you know.
Yeah.
And then we follow people randomly on Instagram, like sports personalities and those kind of thing, whatever. But I don't feel like, for example, they're probably friends of yours on Instagram that I don't follow just because they're your friends, because I don't know them.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
So like if I see someone, like if you're following a celebrity that I'm following, I would follow.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't necessarily now go follow, like I don't follow Chiru on any, like any profiles, like whatever.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that you start posting her more now that, you know, so that the people can see, you know.
You know how amazing I am on social media.
Are you guys going to do a joint?
Nah.
Because there's this new underwear that they've invented for people who've got joint accounts, where like it's a joint account, you can wear joint underwear.
Since that's cool.
Yeah, well, I guess it's cool for you. Anyway, so The Circle's really cool, so that's something cool. What did you think about the Kevin Hart?
I think
it's a docu-series, right?
Yes. It's like, but it's kind of weird. You know, it's actually very weird because I'm going to digress here because it's very cinematic.
Yeah.
I think it's not right for the style of thing that they're doing. It's like also like rhythm and flow. It's very cinematic. Anyway.
I think it's because of the platform. I think it's because on the platform that it's being released. I think it's because Netflix obviously has a standard. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The thing that I find weird about it is that Kevin Hart's not one of the Kardashians. So what I mean by that is that with the Kardashians, the reason we get to watch the season of the last year that they lived is because they record their lives every single day for content. You know what I mean? And there's some thought put into it. Today I am going to. And then while I'm doing that thing, someone gets a divorce, someone, this thing happens, whatever, it gets caught on camera. The thing with Kevin Hart's documentary, the question that I had was that did they decide at the start of a certain point for the next 6 months or the next year, we're going to record this guy for a Netflix special and then these events happened?
Yeah.
Because if these events happened, we can't just go back and watch interviews because then you might as well go on a talk show. But we actually see footage and during that time, those things happening. So the questions I start asking, I'm like, wait.
Is it engineered?
How much of this is engineered and how much of it is, well, we were shooting this documentary anyway, so we got the content going.
That's actually a very good point. I actually haven't thought of it that way. Yeah. But my thing is also like, even with, I understand the whole like Netflix thing and the whole cinematic thing. Already if it's cinematic, I'm thinking it's engineered.
Yeah. Because the one thing I started understanding about the kind, listen, I think social media and shows have evolved so much right now that there's not so much secrecy behind how things are made. And the thing about the Kardashians is that at first we were like, no man, come on. So these cameras just follow you everywhere you just happen to. But they actually have a schedule that they need to shoot according to the show.
Yeah.
And you've got to fill that show up about what you want to do. So like, for example, you can't just be like, okay, Monday, the camera guys just come to the house.
Yeah.
And then we'll see what happens. So on Monday, they're like, okay, KG's coming over to the house. We're going to record the conversation that you guys are having. What is the conversation going to be about? What are you going to talk about? What are you not? You understand?
Mm.
So the same conversations needed to have happened during that time. I just kind of feel that if they took a chance that something would happen and that relationship drama of his happened, then good on the director for calling that shot. You know what I mean? On the other hand, I just find that's a bit coincidental.
I think so too.
You know what I mean? So the stuff that they cover, it obviously starts with his homophobic tweets.
Yes.
That's kind of where they like the, this. They want to shoot this thing to explain Kevin's side of the story and kind of see the in-depth in that kind of thing and kind of get a background into it. They show a lot of his friendship group, those guys that he bought the cars for.
Bruh, like Kevin Hart is... I don't know how you felt about... Okay, but we'll circle back there.
And then they showed his relationship with his dad. They kind of like how that, and with his mom, that how that played out. The mess with his wife and him cheating and that kind of thing. You got to see a lot more in his home type thing. The thing about Kevin Hart is that it's not a behind the scenes thing because through a lot of his comedy and stuff, you already kind of have
he's
an
very
idea
transparent
of what his life is, how his life is set up. I think for me, it was just nice to kind of put a face to a name. You know what I mean? So like if you're watching Real Hollywood, Real Husbands of Hollywood, you're watching those things, you kind of catch a glimpse of who these people are here and there. But then I kind of felt like when you're watching the documentary, you kind of put the pieces together and kind of see how all of that.
The other thing is, how pretty is Aniko?
She is 11 dude out of 9.
And she is such a nice person.
She's absolutely beautiful inside out.
Dude, I feel
absolutely
like...
Absolutely beautiful inside out.
Like, I feel like Kevin Hart hit the jackpot there, man. Like,
absolutely.
He better not, like, mess up.
Again. So, the thing for me was, I think my review of Kevin Hart material that I watched over December, including the second Jumanji, was that Kevin Hart is in the category of mediocre. He is the best mediocre. He is top level mediocre.
Deaths.
And that's what I give him props for.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you're a B-grade actor, I don't feel like there's nothing much you can do about it, but be the best B-grade actor. You know what I mean? So, like, when we, like, a B-grade actor, you're like, man, like Jada Pinkett Smith, for example, you're like, damn, she is really good in the B category.
Yeah.
The moment you move into the A category, you're like, who? You know what I mean? And so,
Margot
like,
Robbie.
Yeah, like, so Kevin Hart and, like, that kind of stuff, I'm like, you know what? Like, Kevin, I said to you earlier, before we started recording, I said to you I still love his Laugh Out Loud network. He's a funny guy. I love his stand-ups. Great thing, whatever. It's just, like, these other bigger projects that come out. I feel like, you know, it's that.
The thing is with me, dude, like, you know, I haven't laughed at his comedy stuff.
Yeah. The thing with me is not that I can't recently tell a joke that Kevin told because Kevin's joke is about his life. He laughs at himself. And when he's not laughing at himself, it's the way he reacts to things that makes you laugh.
Yeah.
So unless you are, if like with his documentary, I don't know so many one-liners I can tell you. But if I imitate something Kevin, like I have a friend who's a big Kevin Hart fan.
Yeah.
A lot of the time, it's not him repeating stuff that Kevin said. It's him impersonating Kevin, and that's what makes me laugh.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel you. I feel like, and that he kind of encapsulates the power of what comedy is, in the sense that we use comedy to make the pain bearable, and Kevin Hart like. When he talks about his dad, bruh, that's a really heavy topic. Like, that's a topic that many people can relate to.
But the thing is, when we heard about his dad on the special, you laugh about it. You don't think about the depth of the hurt that when it happened.
Yeah.
But when you watch the documentary, you can see that although he laughs about it now,
it was
not that funny back then.
Yeah.
You get what I mean? And also, like, the type of struggles his dad had with... I mean, like, we laughed about, like, his dad rocking up high at his school and not wearing underwear. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and we make it's jokes funny about that, it. And we make jokes about when we get to the documentary, and you can kind of see how comedians have that ability to be able to, I don't say numb the pain, but kind of present their pain in a laughable way.
And you know what, right? The other, I watched, you know, Jubilee.
Yeah.
So they had this thing, do all comedians look, think the same?
Yeah.
Right? And the one person they said that they got raped, right?
Yeah.
And for them, like, that was like a very traumatic experience, and like, it was really not nice. And she had this joke about, was it he or she? I forgot. Yeah. I watched it a while ago. And they had this bit about the joke, but they'd never performed it. And just as he's about to, or she, whatever, is about to, like, make this joke, they said that it felt as if, like, you know, like when you're about to jump off an airplane, and you're like, I don't know, this can go really bad or really,
really good.
And hoping that the crowd would somehow catch the person. And the crowd eventually did catch the person. And it's like, it's so therapeutic. It's like, it feels as if, like, a huge load has been lifted.
Yeah.
And now people can, now we can start talking about this traumatic experience. And I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah. Anyway, a lot of good stuff coming out, already out on Netflix, that I kind of feel like is the one. I feel like Netflix is that space that you can go to where, like, when everything is so busy, everything is just too much. Mm. I feel like Netflix is the one space that you can just escape to and be like, for the next 40 minutes, this is where I'm going.
But I have what they call option paralysis. Option paralysis.
Yeah.
So when, like, you have so many things and you just like, I don't know what to pick. I don't know what to choose.
I got you. When you don't have Netflix, you're like, there's so many shows I can't wait to get. When you do, you'll find yourself searching through thousands of titles and,
like,
not settling
for
on
an hour, and you're just like, oh gosh.
Yeah. You know how much when we used to have hard drives with movies on?
Yeah.
And like, when you're bored, you just choose a movie and watch. Yeah. There are so many movies on Netflix, I can't tell you the last time I watched one of them.
it's right there.
And like, it's HD. I don't have to plug in. I don't have to, like, it's right there. Haven't done it in a while. The one thing that I did wanna circle to that we discussed last year was Homeland, by the way.
Oh, yes.
I get it.
Yes.
Like, remember we were like, when it came to like season 3, and we were like, the storyline and that kind of thing, whatever. I've continued pushing through and watching it. It gets better.
What season?
After season 4. Okay, I just wanted to. I knew you weren't gonna agree with me.
No, thing is this. But like, I watched the spoilers. I know what happens.
Yeah. Okay. But anyway. Yeah. Anyway, I wanted to come back to it because I kind of felt like I watched a certain point. I was like, this thing is like, I was on such a Homeland high, and I was so bummed because of the way things. And then things.
I wanna know what happens to the dude's family, bruh.
You see the one thing
that's what irritates me.
Yeah, you see the one thing I didn't like is the way that they just wrote people out.
Off.
Everyone else is kind of getting conclusions, but the family, the son, the daughter, and the wife, they kind of just written out of it. But if you think about it, everyone else on the cast has a governmental association, except the wife and the kids. So unless the story starts with his best friend, and somehow that best friend gets involved and they involve the family, it's just not going to make sense for the wife and the kids to be involved unless they get kidnapped,
but
taken that side, held hostage.
You know, the thing is with me, right, is that I'm a very sentimental person. Like, I hold on to characters.
Yeah.
If someone dies, it shouldn't be in vain. It should be worth something. I should feel that, like, I've invested so much time watching this thing, and I'm like, sure, now I'm moved.
Now, is this your pain from when Iron Man died, or is this a new year?
You see, like, even Iron Man, even Iron Man, like, I was hacked that he died, right? But I still consider it worthwhile, because they built him up to this huge crescendo.
Yeah, I got you.
And, like, the family, like, my thing is, that's why I was watching it, because this guy is in conflict.
Yeah.
This guy was about to, like, kill, commit treason, right?
Yeah.
And the only reason why he didn't was because of the daughter.
Of the daughter. I get why that piece does not play out so well, because he didn't even have one last conversation with her.
Yeah.
There was no ending to that thing.
There was no conclusion. There was no closure. Where's the freaking closure?
Talking about Homeland Security, so something that caught my attention last year towards the end was the whole MTN scandal with those ties to ISIS.
Oh.
Did you hear about MTN?
Holy crap. Like MTN. This was not where I thought it was going.
Oh, you didn't.
I thought you were going to say ties to like decreasing data prices.
No, this was like amongst scandal of scandals.
Yo, went 0 to 100.
The thing is, I just can't remember if it's... No, I don't think it's Al-Qaeda. I think it's ISIS. Okay, let's just say a terrorist group.
Yes.
And MTN was paying off these terrorist groups so they could continue doing business.
Not mad at that.
Continue doing business in those things. Yeah. I'm also not mad at it until you start thinking about what happens with that money.
Yeah.
You get what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, listen, man, in a war-torn country, if you're going to be able to do business, where is the rules here? You get what I'm like? You know, I don't think that there's fixed rules in that. Mm-hmm. The only thing that I do have an issue with is that the next time these people are able to kidnap a group of 50 girls, it was because the resources that they had
was from
they used the money.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. You know, that's messed up.
Furthermore, one of the things that kickstarted the year was your President Trump.
Yes.
Ordering the assassination of Qasem Soleimani. So the thing is for me is like, you know, sometimes the politics are so deep, and so, you know, we don't always know the full story of why certain things happened, right? And maybe my question wants to be a little bit more ethical instead of political, because political for me, I kind of feel like this is him grasping at the last couple of straws he has, so that when he leaves, I kind of feel Trump's going to be the type of president where when his presidential term is over, whether it's these 4 years or in the next 4 years, as long as he's alive, he's going to keep wearing his blazer with all his achievements on them.
Yeah.
You understand? No matter if those achievements were good or those achievements are bad, and one of the achievements he wants is that if he's not the president come the end of next year, whoever becomes president, he's always going to hold them to the standard, I took out a Taliban leader, I took out an ISIS leader, I took out whatever. What did you do? You know what I mean? I kind of feel like he's that kid at school who, like, he puts so much pressure on his family to buy him the new iPhone so he can go to school and bully other kids who don't have that iPhone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the thing for me ethically is that, first of all, there's no solid proof that can be shown that whether Mr. Soleimani, by the way, he's a military leader, right? Mm. So the reason they took him out was because they say that probably or perhaps he was, or apparently he was planning an attack against the USA, right? And so that's why kill you before you kill me.
Yeah.
Right? And so the thing is for me, ethically, are we saying that the moment you are suspicious of a threat, we're going to send these drones to come and bomb you?
And also, knowing US politics very well.
Yeah.
Who's to say we should believe them?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, what better propaganda for Trump to kill a couple of Muslims right before an election?
Oh, gosh.
You know what I mean? Because I can tell you.
Yeah, he's going to use it.
I can tell you that evangelical white America is celebrating.
And they hate... Dude, and let's be real about this. Like, they hate Muslims.
Yeah, yeah.
They hate... Not they hate them. Yeah. They don't want them.
Because the thing for me is, when North Korea was making so much noise about... And I mean, they actually continued building their nuclear warheads.
Yeah.
They were testing their nuclear warheads. Why didn't they send a drone to go and bomb
North Korea. And that's a bigger threat
That's a bigger threat, right? Why don't they send a drone? Why don't they send those spies? Come on. You can't tell me that there aren't spies in North Korea right now.
Yeah, no devs.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You can't tell me someone can't slip in, give this guy some poison, get rid of him. It's that. Yeah. I mean, we've watched so many spy movies. Like, yeah. Come on, there's something fun we can talk about. But here are these people out in the Middle East. You know what I mean? And you're picking fights with them and trying to put these things on when there are bigger threats in the world.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. And my thing is also that the US is such a... It's like you're supposed to be the adult in the room. So fine, maybe let's say they were plotting to do something, right?
Yeah.
I think what I would have rather expected from the USA is to think of maybe not a more diplomatic way, but like a better way of like solving or resolving the issue. I don't know what that solution is myself, so I'm a bit of a hypocrite.
The thing for me is I feel like, listen, I stand corrected. The thing is, you can't keep comparing Trump to any other president, and you can't compare other president. I feel like everyone in their own right.
Yeah.
So the thing for me is that I kind of feel like if Barack Obama were to come out and be like, the reason we killed this person, whether we agreed with him killing, because for me, it's the killing of the person.
Yeah.
You understand? So the thing for me is if Barack Obama came out, Barack Obama would have came out with a blueprint stolen from that guy and said, this is the date, this is the time, this is where, this is how.
And this is why.
And this is why we've done this. So you may, and then as an evangelical whose responsibility now is to pray for this man, I'd be able to be like, you don't understand, this guy's not a pastor killing people, this guy's a president.
Yeah.
These are political issues he's got to deal with, and this is one of the hard decisions he had to. The problem for me is all of these evangelical leaders standing around Trump killed someone, probably having evidence, whatever. I look at these and I'm like, are none of you guys asking questions here?
Yeah.
Are none of you, are all you're doing, you're taking that scripture that says we must pray for our leaders, and are all you're doing is standing on that one scripture and saying, I've got to pray for the man. That's all. You don't ask questions.
No, that's wrong.
You don't investigate. You don't. Can you imagine, you and Chilo get married this year. At the beginning of next year, I find out that you've been beating her. You find out that she's been sleeping outside.
And then you can't pray for me.
And I stand outside and I say, I stand by this man. I pray for him. I keep him up. I post pictures of me laying my hands on you and that kind of thing. But I never once challenge you on... I would not be a good friend to you. You know what I mean? So the thing for me is like, I kind of wish that America would fast forward, because I'd rather find out that he's voted back into office and we can deal with those issues. Or... let someone else step into that place.
Yo, dude, Trump is horrible, dude. Trump is just cancer. Like, I don't even know, like, how they even rationalized him.
The thing is, I think a lot of people have bias regret or voters regret when it comes to Trump. I think that, you know, when he was in the running, I think that a lot of Democrats, obviously, they sold this big picture of how bad Trump is, you know what I mean? And a lot of the people were just being like, yeah, you guys have been this, you guys are over exaggerating, you this and that. But I kind of felt like giving him time, and that's what a lot of level-headed Democrats were saying, were like, listen, now as our president, we've got to give him time to either prove us wrong or to prove us right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There were things that were a bit of a reach, and one of the things I thought was a bit of a reach, where they were like, you do guys know that this guy has his hand on the nuclear button, you know what I mean? But now that we're coming closer to the end, look how close we are to that happening. You know what I mean?
He almost outstarted World War III.
Right now, people are being recruited in America for a war against Iran. So I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, and here's the thing also that I don't respect about him at all. Those, the children of those white evangelicals, Trump's children, those rich folk who are benefiting, they're not the ones who are going to go to war. It's going to be middle and lower class America.
Definitely.
Have you ever seen a veteran who's living in a multi-million rent? The wife is there, the kids are there. They don't care, like, let the man die or not. You find that it's all these veterans who are probably sitting in debt. They've been to the war in Iraq. They've been back. They're either sitting in debt, they don't have health care, they're sitting around. Those are the vets who are going to go back and go fight that war for him. And he's sitting in the White House a year more to go. And
he's the one who started.
If North Korea fires a nuclear weapon into the United States, I can tell you that one of the surviving families are going to be the Trump family.
Definitely.
Who's going to be out of America, probably taking refuge in France or taking refuge somewhere else or living with the Queen in England.
Mm.
And it's going to be Middle America, whether you're white, whether you're black, whether you're gay, whether you're straight, whether you had an abortion.
That's a really good point.
You know what I mean? Whether you had an abortion, didn't have an abortion, when that nuclear weapon strikes, you better make sure, you hear what I mean?
Yeah, man, one of Jenna Lucas' songs, he even said, like, now I'm ducking every time I hear planes fly.
Yeah.
And you think, wow, this guy's paranoid. But you're like, this is the reality. Like, this is, yeah, dude.
Yeah. So, I mean, the conversation that we're having back at home in South Africa is, like, what's our position? I thought that we would definitely start getting involved because they had an issue, was it with Kenya recently?
Yeah.
They had an issue with Kenya recently, and I was like, my stance is that if it's America, America can't be against Kenya. Mm. America has got to be against Africa, and that's if... You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you can't go to, like, as the African continent, I know they like to divide us and subdivide us, but I'm like, you do understand that Kenya is in Africa. Mm. South Africa is in Africa. If they go, you do know that if they go there, they win the war in Kenya.
They're coming to us.
They're coming to us. They're in our land. They're on our land. You know what I mean?
Must stop that thing as soon as possible. Yeah. Bro. And that's why I think, as I always say, like, I think Africa should be one big thing.
Yeah.
Not different countries, just one big thing.
Yeah. We should be the United States of Africa.
Yeah.
Even if we come up with a new governmental system where we do have different governments controlling every country. We might not have one president, but we can have the council of...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? How many countries do we have in Africa?
A lot, bro. At 54. Hey,
is that not America's? Is that not America's number?
If it's not 54, it's 52.
Okay, how many countries?
If it's not 54, it's 52.
Are in? I say, not in South Africa. Oh my god,
11. 11. Two actually.
Nine. 54. You go, man. And how many are in America?
52. Because there are 52 stars on the air.
So flight. You see, so my suggestion is right if. Africa were to go to war against America, they must just divide us into different districts and may the odds be even.
Oh, wow.
Just choose, like, I mean.
But, like, think about it, dude. If we were one, right, we're no longer worried about Eskom because the DRC can provide electricity for us for, like, a billion years, right? In terms of resources like Tanzanite diamonds.
Yeah.
Like, we can, like, crazy mark up that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, we can have our own engineers, our mining engineers, going to the African, in Tanzania, mining that for us, and, like, selling it for crazy amounts to the US and stuff.
I think that they just need to get their act together and just get their... Listen, I don't think it's the government in order. I just think the Democrats just need to pull themselves together, or the Republicans need to do a switcheroo over there and put someone else into power. Just level things out. I'm not even mad about a Democrat win. I'm mad about
a Trump win. Actually,
you know what I mean? I'll just be mad about a Trump win.
However,
yeah.
Do not underestimate the stupidity of the Democrats.
Absolutely.
That's absolutely. The one thing I always like, yo, bruh.
Look, the thing for me is, you know, like I had such high hopes in Kamala Harris. I had such high hopes in some of the other
Andrew Yang seems like the popular.
Yeah, so Andrew Yang right now, he's like, for me, like, he's the one that's got heat. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of fire on him. Mm. The problem is that the run up to the election is so long that people become bored.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I feel like by the time it's the actual election, people are like, oh, here we go.
It's the same idea.
And then they'll be like, okay, who's the normality around here? And they go back to default.
You
know? The thing for me with Brother Bernie, great guy. I think he'll do a great job. I'm just like...
He's old.
Bernie's way too old for that presidential seat. Like, the same problem that we have in Africa where our leaders are like 80 and above, America can't fall into that thing. Give the thing to Pete. I mean, Pete's like, he's turning 38 this year.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Warren at least
still has fire. I never understood the fact that, like, now, like, our presidents have to be super old. Justin Trudeau is probably like in his 40s.
Dude. The thing is that I do get why our older presidents were that old was because the Remember, by the time you were done studying or serving in the military,
you were like,
in order to qualify for that position. The thing is now, like, you can get out of high school, you're 18, study for 4 years, get a law degree or get any degree in that sense. You can serve in the military, not serve in the military, start running for president. You know, start running for mayor, that kind of thing. That's cool. Listen, man, I think that we must just round up on these New Year's Eve shootings.
Hey.
That happened. You know what, like, what the crazy thing is? Like, first of all, so these shootings, they happen on New Year's Eve. They happen like a couple of minutes after midnight. And in Melville, which is kind of like one of the most popular party attractions in South Africa,
yeah,
right? You asked me how easy it was to get a gun in South Africa.
Yeah.
My response is, without even doing research, I don't think it's that difficult for us.
I also think so.
To get arms and ammunition yeah. in South Africa. Okay?
Yeah, I also don't think so.
I really don't think like it's a thing where... Listen, I think that if you're going... I think like with anything in South Africa, if you're going the legal route, there's going to be a process for you to get that thing.
Yeah.
If you want something the other side of legal, it's very easy to get that.
The one thing that maybe I'll commend us about is that it won't be like in Texas where you see a guy walking casually with a shotgun.
Yeah.
Like that you won't, and maybe you're probably maybe regulated on what type of gun you can get.
I think that, you know, like, I understand in South Africa, like, you know, the thing is, I've always thought about gun laws and gun ownership in the American, you know, like in their government, society, spectrum, whatever it is. I've always thought about it in that, but I never really thought about it in South Africa, because I kind of felt like in South Africa, if you don't have a gun, okay, if you do have a gun, I understand why.
Yeah.
And that's because of the crime in our country.
And that's why I feel like I want
to. And that's why you feel. So for me, it's different because I don't know. Like, I kind of feel like the temperament is different in South Africa. I feel like where we burn down buildings and we loot shops and stuff, I just don't think there's too much of us actually massacring people. Mm. I mean, like, we've had like Marikana, but like that's like governmental things. Mm-hmm. I don't think like as a society we like those type of people. Like after apartheid, I kind of feel like our societies were so wounded by what happened, mm-hmm. including the violence, including segregation, that now like you've got to be a really special hell case for you to walk into a group of white people and shoot the whole building dead, or like walk into a school and kill a bunch of Indian kids, or walk, you know what I mean? Or like walk into a mosque and, you know, And that kind of thing. I mean, like, the worst that we've kind of had was, like, those bombings in Cape Town where they, like, planted a bomb outside a mosque or, like, that kind of thing.
But don't you think it's, like, dude, what my thing is, racial tensions are getting so high now.
Yeah.
And with black people now starting to realize these subliminal, systemic things.
Yeah.
People are getting very angry now.
Yeah.
And it seems as if nothing is changing. The government's not helping you.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, look, man.
The thing for me is, I always worry about an older generation. The thing about a young, and then I worry about a very young generation.
Yeah.
The thing about a 25 to 30 generation, the problem is that I feel like they are such an intelligent generation. They're such a brain, you know what I mean? Like, it's the educated generation. Yeah. It's the education. It's it's the ones who, like, you know, like sometimes you like, you know, yeah, stupid people argue on but have you ever read how intelligent those arguments are? You know what I mean? Like sometimes I read these Twitter comebacks and I'm like, I would have never seen this thing. You get what I mean? So I'm like, I kind of feel like in society and as society, that's the responsibility that we have.
Yeah.
Whereas like my friends can dislike, my friends can stand against, my friends can protest, but when my friends start talking about killing another human being, that's where we've got to kind of be like, okay guys, where do we draw the line here? You know what I mean? Because for me, all that a war does, whether it's a civil war, a community war, a national, international war, it resets. You know what I mean? So we kind of, when the war's done, whoever wins, we go back and okay, let's not make those same mistakes again until we make those mistakes.
I definitely agree with that.
Yeah, but anyway, man, I feel like there's a general tone of positivity over 2020. I kind of feel like a lot more people have a positive outlook.
Is that the 2020 vision?
Towards it. Listen, I think that that's like, listen, I love it.
corny AF.
But I just think like it's the corniest. We spoke about it last year. AF. I'm just like 2020, the 2020 vision thing. You know, like, yeah, so I'm just like...
I want to get 20 out of 20 for the year. That's all I ask for.
And what is this that you're getting 2020 out of?
Like life.
Okay. Yeah. So there's like a score sheet, but it only made to 20?
It's like a secret score sheet that you don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I don't know what that is about. Listen, man, it's always great talking to you, especially on this podcast. And I'm excited to see what the future is going to hold, man. Like,
I'm scared, man. I'm scared.
I'm. You know what I'm actually like excited to see after February?
Yes.
I want to see what Married Cage is going to be like on our podcast. That's kind of what I'm gonna. Yeah. At least then we will have the Charlamagne and Andrew
Schultz
dynamic going on there. I just need to plan a couple of trips to Vegas where someone gets arrested. Oh, it's not gonna be me though, but yeah.
As Kevin Hart said, what happens in Vegas does not
stay. Listen, Vegas. I want to one more thing before we close. Did you agree with him? Like, I understand accountability, right?
I agree. That's exactly what I wanted to ask you about. I think it's bull, bro.
I also think. I think it's the lowest, the biggest load of crap that I've heard. And like,
yes.
I'm just like, listen, my friend. Like, I'm for yeah. the best for you.
Mm.
But if we going to Vegas for your bachelor, like in yeah. the next month, and if you do something, do not put that responsibility on me.
Exactly.
Yeah. I feel like as friends, those conversations happen on the rig so yeah. that those things don't happen. But mm. those things can't happen and then be like, yeah, but you were supposed to and you were supposed to.
But also the other thing is, it's all on you. Also, at the end of the day, it's like Christianity. You can't say, yeah. oh, I didn't have any Christian friends. Like, yeah. it's on you.
It's on you.
And what Charlamagne said was right, was that it's a bunch of bull. You cheated because you wanted to cheat.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, that's
so, plain so the simple. Thing for me is like where I will say like maybe some kind of accountability will happen is that let's say for example we do have your bachelor and something does happen, right?
Yeah.
As your friend, I kind of feel like my job is to protect you.
Yes.
You understand? And depending on like, you know, like there's different degrees of friendship mm. and protection. But like for me, it's kind of like, okay, he messed up here. And it's my job to kind of conceal that mm-hmm. and make sure that nobody finds out about that.
Yeah.
That I understand. If that's your expectation of me, I get it. Yeah. You know what I mean? On the other hand, I cannot be the type of friend where if you do something wrong, I'm the one recording it and I'm the one telling people.
Yeah, yeah,
because
yeah,
then I shouldn't be in that circle in the first place.
I agree with that.
You know what I mean? So that's yeah, why yeah. I kind of like Kev, like his comments were not great, but the guy who did it, come on, we have to admit that like,
no, he's a sleaze.
Don't be a snitch.
Yeah, but still, I put the heavier thing on Kevin. Yeah. If you did what was right, yeah.
I want no friends around me who are gonna be recording my stuff.
Yeah, I want people who will be honest with me.
Yeah,
like for instance, like
I think the better thing would have been after it happened, or listen, if you didn't stop it while it happened, then after it happened, you should go sit down with Kevin, be like, listen, my friend. You and I can't chill like this if yeah. these are the things that are going to happen.
Mm.
Because you're not only compromising yourself, you're compromising me as well.
Mm. Mm.
You get what I mean? Have that conversation with him.
Yeah, yeah, definitely agree with that.
Huge shout out to our show sponsor, the TaylorMade Designs. You can catch them on Instagram at justange30 or the TaylorMade Designs. You can contact them at hello@taylormadedesigns.co.za. If you're any type of business inquiry, you want to find out about graphic design, rebranding, maybe you're writing a book this year, maybe you got some music out of whatever it is that you're doing, the TaylorMade Designs, they're not only a graphic company, but they can put and design your whole profile together. They're also venturing into like home organization.
Oh, flip.
So like you want to get your wardrobe organized, you want to get your pantry organized, they'll hook you up with that as well. The good news is that if you're listening to this podcast, if you've never used their services before, you'll get 30% off if you use the code
whatever.
And if you're a returning client, maybe before you heard the show, had the services before, maybe you've used their services already, the game's not over, because if you use that same code,
whatever,
you'll get 5% off. So if you frequent listener of the show, pop in to TaylorMade Designs and getting regular work done, you'll get 5% off the work that you want done, simply because you're using the code, because whatever is.
And that's VAT inclusive, so.
Yeah, whatever that means, sounds like a good thing, guys. So whatever that means, sounds like a lot. This is where you can find us on social media.
You can find us on Facebook, both of us on Facebook, at Fadio Baker, at KG the One, that's two it. Underscores,
yep.
On Twitter, on Instagram, on PSN, and yeah, you can catch me on YouTube. I started like posting a bit of like gaming stuff. Yeah.
Might be next week, or I'll tell you sometime along the one. Instead of making like a whole set of New Year's resolutions, I've narrowed it down to one thing.
Amen.
And that is build one and break one.
The hell?
So I want to break a bad habit and I want to build a good habit.
Oh, that's good.
That's it for 2020.
2021.
What am I doing with the rest of my life in 2020? Who knows?
Amen.
Come June, there might be another marriage proposal being there. Might be on honeymoon. Are you guys going on honeymoon, by the way?
Oh, definitely.
Have you decided where?
Oh, hell yeah.
Are you going to tell me where after the show?
Close to the Kruger National Park.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Oh, hell. No, I deserve one.
You deserve one?
I deserve a honeymoon, sir.
Okay.
Yeah.
Remember that book I said I was going to make? About text messages.
Yeah.
I think I'm gonna wrap it up nicely as a wedding gift for her and just be like,
oh, wow.
Before anything gets finalized, you might.
See, on my side, unlike your ladies, I'm not sure about her. Because she still needs to, like, yeah, I don't know if she's still sure or what.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, man, but all the best. I know there's like probably 1,000 things that need to get done. I'd not envy you at all. I'm just looking forward to some good food,
yes,
some good drinks, and a good party. That's all I'm looking forward to.
Yes.
And then you're happily ever after. And thankfully, Love About Weddings is everything is on you. So that's the best part of the wedding.
Oh, wow.
We are thinking about you during your time of planning. And we will... Are you going to start a... I don't know if I'm allowed to say this.
Like what?
Are you going to start a countdown on your Insta story,
I think,
not towards the wedding, but like to your wedding night.
That's corny, bro.
Come on.
Nah, that's corny.
I think,
man,
you should do it. Do like a private group of us with just your boys, and we'll do a countdown.
We'll just have 10.
Yeah.
What is 10? And then the next day, 9.
Yeah. And like, no one will know.
And just then, the context. And after 0, if K just left the group.
By the way, the other question that he answered before we started recording was that apparently the person who has the biggest crush on him is not invited to the wedding.
Wow.
Which I think is such a missed opportunity.
Wow.
Are any of your exes going to be invited to wedding?
Hey, man, if they want to come.
Are any of her exes coming to wedding?
And she doesn't have a lot of exes.
Okay. You do know that that's like even worse, because then like, which means she's really committed and she was really committed. So.
What? Oh, wow.
Okay, I'm not trying to do anything. Hey, guys, until next week.
It's whatever.